Schluss mit niedlich. Hallo Karriere. Business Secrets. Warum Frauen geliked und Männern gefolgt wird. Barbara Liebermeister ist in beiden Welten zu Hause. Sie kommt aus dem Management internationaler Kosmetikkonzerne und ist heute unterwegs zwischen Bankern, Politikern, Rechtsanwälten. Hier verrät sie ihre Geheimnisse. Business Secrets.
Herzlich willkommen zu einem neuen Podcast bei Business Secrets. Warum Frauen geliked werden und Männern gefolgt wird. Ich habe eine kleine Überraschung für euch, weil wir werden diesen Podcast hier in Englisch halten. Ich habe eine ganz tolle Interviewpartnerin für euch parat. Das ist Valentina Lucina. And a very warm welcome, Valentina. Hello.
Hello, Barbara. Hello, everyone. Nice being here to you, with you today. We'll be speaking in English, but of course, making sure that my pronunciation and the speed of conversation will fit everyone to have a great time.
It's great. It's a good English training for me. So who is Valentina? Valentina is leading the HR department at WUGA. WUGA is World of Games, a Berlin-based story-driven game studio. WUGA employs more than 300 people from over 50 nations to create games for a global audience. Valentina, who is originally from the Ukraine, joined WUGA in 2017 and today leads a team of 11 people. A team of HR and talent acquisition experts covers the entire employee journey, from finding the right talent to join the studio in Berlin, to relocating, onboarding, learning and professional development through offboarding. Prior to WUGA, Val gained experience as HR business partner in consulting, tech and product companies. The combination of corporate and startup experience allows her to have a deep understanding of how HR contributes to a company's success, how trends impact business and people, and what we can do to build a great workplace. Valentina holds degrees in management and psychology. She is certified by American Association of HR Professionals, the Society for Human Resource Management, as a senior HR professional. And a little secret, outside of work, Val is passionate about outdoor activities and gardening. That I like, Valentina.
Such a good season to talk about gardening, but I think it's not the main topic today, right?
Hey, coming from the gaming industry and gardening is one and outside activities. That's a good combination. I love it.
It gives you fruits. It rewards you from time to time and it makes you very persistent in pursuing some kind of harvest. So I see a lot of connection actually now when you said it.
Oh, that's great. And I was super surprised as we talk in our first conversation that the main target audience or 80% are women of the clients of WUGA, and they have an average age of 55 years, and they play 10 minutes to 60 minutes per day. Yeah. Tell us in the beginning a little bit more about your audience before we go a little bit deeper in your job, because that's so an interesting industry to have a look behind the scene.
Scene is actually one of the most common words specifically in one of our games, June's Journey, right? Because the scenes are guiding you through the stories, and that's through the story that the game tells you. And that actually is the combination that It looks like it's very interesting for our players, right? So, and I will make it rather a statement. It's something that invites our players to play, and it like engages them and makes them absolutely excited about the product that we are doing. And that's true because the genre that our, for example, one of our greatest games, June's Journey, operates, it's called Hidden Object. It's the place where you have a screen, on a screen you have a scene where you need to find objects, and the scenes are connected by the great story. There is some detective type of the game that you're playing, right? Because you're also investigating, you're solving some mysteries on the way, and of course the content of this, right? And the target audience of this are usually women, because it just happened that way, that the aesthetics of the game, the mm-hmm. the tasks of the game are a little bit like I would say less challenging than compared to some of the specifically games that are targeting male audiences. It doesn't necessarily mean that men don't play our games. My husband plays like some of our games, and then of course we talk a lot about how this works, how this engages.
Yeah, of
you.
Course. Yeah.
But the majority, of course, of our audience worldwide are women, and we are happy to cater to them, right?
Yeah, because, yeah. And how is the price model behind? Is it that I have or that I use an app and I pay per month, or how does it work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so generally what Wooga does is called, in the industry, is called free to play, right? So generally you don't need to invest any specific money to play the games. However, of course, if you would like to have something extra, if you want to mm-hmm. progress faster, if you want to play longer sessions, because I don't know, you are on vacation and you're just enjoying the the time of doing nothing, and you want to continue casually like doing something on your phone, on your tablet, or on your computer, you can also do that, right? Those are small things that you can buy for the decoration, mm-hmm. or some kind of lives, if you want me to mm-hmm. simplify it that way. But if you want to invest nothing, then of course.
Okay, and how get you paid then, or what's your?
That's a good question, right?
Yeah, sponsoring perhaps from bigger companies.
Right. So of course, and this is something that I mean, if you ever opened any kind of phone on your game on your phone, you would see an ad, right?
And okay,
just part mm-hmm. of the industry.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because I mean, as any other business, we just cannot have things completely for free. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the model and the pricing approach is called free to play, because if you don't want to pay, you can not pay.
Yeah, of course. And what inspired you to focus on increasing the representation of women in your company's leadership roles? You have a special interest in this, and that's very interesting for us here.
It's a good question, right? Like if your product targets women, right? Like how do you make sure that you speak to your audience? And I don't necessarily mean that only women could speak to women, right? Mm-hmm. But generally for the gaming industry, what's important to understand, it's quite male dominated, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you ask, then in many games, the male characters are prevalent, right? And 70% of employees across the industry are usually male. And of course, female players sometimes even take the male nicknames, right? Mm-hmm. Just not to be identified as women. And this is something that has been just part of the industry for a while. But I mean, for us, it was important we can challenge these things and make sure that even in male-dominated industry, we could become a diverse company. So, I mean, I have been with Wooga for 7 years, a little bit less than 7 years. And when I joined it, from the beginning, I was already surprised with the amount of the diversity that is there. But at the same time, the portion of women consistently grew through the years. Mm-hmm. And it didn't just happen accidentally. We, of course, put quite some effort into it. But at the same time today, 42% of our employees are women. And 24% of tech roles and 40% in leadership roles are women. Mm-hmm. And this is something that is not actually normal in the industry. This is something that we made a remarkable progress on, and this is what we are super proud of, because I think that generally in the male dominated industry it's not that easy to achieve.
Of course, you have to be proud of it. Yeah. And what did you do especially then to get this percentage of women in your company? Is it coming from the ads for recruiting you mm-hmm. do, or do you have a focus on events that you speak, especially, or your colleagues with women, or do you send a special awareness in your employee team, or what do you do? Because it's a result. It's not logically in the gaming industry that you have more than 40% women. And how do you create this awareness? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was not, of course, 1 year step, right? Like from 20 okay. to 40, right?
It took
course
time.
It was a gradual. It took us time. But what we did, we actually put all the perspectives on the board, right, and understood where we could achieve more by mm-hmm. starting now, right? And mm-hmm. to this now, I actually talk years back. And that's not only recruitment channels, that's not only the application process, right? It's also making sure that diversity and the unconscious bias understanding inside the teams are introduced. And for mm-hmm. us, it was an eye opener, right? And to understand these things that you consciously don't, or you have them unconsciously, was very important for internal mm-hmm. part, like for the inside of the company direction. At the same time, HR has a lot of leverage when it comes to the candidates, right? To the hiring pipelines, to training the hiring managers to run the equitable interview processes. Mm-hmm. Because if interviewers would be judging based on someone's appearance, on someone's gender or anything, if they can do the job, that would be something that will be impairing the process. And this mm-hmm. is what was the first thing that we tackled, right? The candidates, and at the same time making sure that internally the respect and understanding for the importance of the proper representation in the company is there. So, I mean, what we did is, if you ask me more tactically, right?
Yeah.
For the job advertising, the language there is absolutely powerful. And there are studies that are saying that women apply for the positions if only they're 100% qualified. So let's imagine that you have like six requirements, and then women would apply if they tackle all the 6 points.
Yeah.
While men will apply if they tackle 4 of it.
Yeah, I can imagine. Totally agree. Yeah.
And for us, what we did, for example, we added to the job job ad, we added this specific sentence that says there are studies that show that women often apply only if they are 100% qualified mm-hmm. or like when they fit 100% of the job criteria. Mm-hmm. And if you are now reading this sentence and you're thinking about that, is that about me? Please apply anyway.
Okay.
And this actually received a lot of positive confirmation from the candidates, specifically female candidates who identify as female, right? That was something that made me apply, right? Because mm-hmm. this is what I caught myself thinking when I was reading the job description. Because the idea is that not just to bring people of the certain gender into the process, that's not the main goal. It's just to equalize the chances, right? Yeah. And to make sure that like that you're looking into the pipeline of the candidates that are put in the and they're coming from the equal position. And that's true. Sometimes we are not, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes women are just taught things in their childhood that it's hard to get out of
it's subconscious, head, right? Of course.
Exactly. Yeah. But making sure that we as a company don't follow these trends, and then we make sure that that diversity enriches our culture, enriches our performance as a company, enriches our financial results, and we don't compromise on quality with this.
Mm-hmm.
That just means these equal opportunities are super important.
That has something to do with your gender bias decoder. You have to talk about this because it's so interesting. You talked about this decoder with me in our other podcast. And so it's also very interesting for our listeners here.
I mean, we did not develop it, right? So the gender bias decoder, right? So was developed by one of the German universities. So you can, it's a free tool. You can find it on one of the website of the Ministry of the Health and Family. But what you can do with it is absolutely simple way, but at the same time very powerful, because what it does, it evaluates the language of your job advertising. And for us, on the example of VUGA, I can say that when we started using the gender bias decoder, it has actually boosted the recruitment process, the way that the job descriptions became more inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't talk about specific words that always are considered as more male or as more female. And eliminating these things and finding more neutral terms helped us to just get this range of candidates who were not blocked by the fact that you are using some of the words that you are considering just normal, because we're human beings, we could consider things the way we consider them. But the gender bias decoder is absolutely great tool for this. I always recommend taking a look, especially it costs you nothing, right?
And can you give us an example of what you find out with this, or what surprised you in a way that you said to yourself, oh my God, that I didn't think before that it could happen? In your brain or in your thinking.
Yeah, that's a good question, right? So it's very there is a difference, of course, in the job description when it comes to English and German language.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things, and then especially like the genders in the German language, you cannot take away, right? In my native language, we also have words that you always associate with something. But mm-hmm. when you write your job description in English, because you would like to target people who speak not only German, but as well English, it's important that you actually cover for all the groups, right, that
mm-hmm.
potentially could be underrepresented. Like if you're hiring for engineer
mm-hmm.
and you're talking about a team player, high achiever, and that already creates a sense of like, is it usually about a female candidate? Yeah, and even in English, even we don't have this male gender to the high achiever.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow when you even talk to yourself, you're like, is it about a male candidate? And there is a way to turn it upside down, right? So because you can talk about, we are welcoming a candidate who is looking to achieve a lot with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And then you don't need to specify which is the what kind of gender that is.
Yeah.
This aha moments for you would be always happening with the words that you are used to just say. I mean, it's a little bit of the so it depends on which country you live in, but sometimes talking to the group of people, even if it's a diverse group of male and female, and calling them guys is normal in the US.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily the same everywhere, because sometimes when you talk guys to the group of people, it could be only men, right? Mm. And then if you talk about a great, we want to hire a great guy, this is absolutely male identifier,
of course,
right?
Of course,
which you potentially should, you just should not do that, right?
Yeah. You can ask for, I'm looking for somebody for our team. And then it's more neutral, for example.
Exactly.
In this, but okay, I totally understand. And it's for us here in Germany, it's a huge challenge with this gender things, because sometimes I have the impression you have to create a new language, and it's very difficult because it's so bias based, that we don't recognize it. And to be so aware, like you with your team, it's, I think, it's the first step. Yeah, because
it is a first step,
and it's an attitude.
You don't need to be afraid.
Yeah,
exactly. And you don't need to be afraid of it, right? Because sometimes you would think that, oh my God, it's such a, it could be such a big topic in my company, and I don't know where to start, and I don't know where to actually, like, where to start tackling this problem, right? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes if you're working in a very homogenous and then traditional environment, it's just part what it is because it's been there for like last 80 years, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the studies already show that having more diverse environment that you work in, the more diverse leadership brings you next levels of creativity, brings you more perspectives, more surprising and sometimes innovative perspectives on things. And there is no specifically big cost to it, right?
Yeah.
Unless you want to invest a lot of money and just make it work from the first day. But I think it's a cultural transformation that you can initiate and go together with your leaders, together with your leadership team through, and it pays off. It pays off, and it gives you a lot of great fruits of especially when it comes to creative industries.
And we talked about this in our other podcast, that creativity is to think outside the box is one of the most important competencies of your employees. And if you are a company like this, then you have to have a very, very, very diverse team, so that you can put together the different perspectives to finally someday the right solution.
And Barbara, I think I just recalled one of the words that was like in my head earlier when you said what was your aha moment, right? I'll give you a very interesting example, because that's the word that many people of course know and use in English. So if you, for example, in you're looking to hire someone for your IT department, right? Mm-hmm. And you're writing a job description, and you're like a creative industry, and you're like, oh, we're looking to hire an IT wizard, because you want to tackle a lot of different potentially skills in this person. But the key here is that wizard is a male, because the female version of wizard is actually a witch.
And you wouldn't use the
would
word
you
witch
ever write it? Yeah, exactly, right?
I need a witch.
IT witch, right? Or, for example, would you write it? We are looking for IT wizard or IT witch. And I know that I'm kind of making it a little bit more funnier than it is. But sometimes you would not think about that when you're writing, because it could be that traditionally the IT industry is very male dominated, right? Mm-hmm. And then the engineers or developers would be rather male. But that does not necessarily mean that you need to target this, right? Because like by targeting a bigger groups and replacing the word wizard with IT expert, IT guru, right?
Yeah.
Like you can actually find a lot of different, target a lot of different candidates, and not only those who consider themselves wizard, because most likely you will only find those who
But it's so interesting. It's quite a science for itself. Yeah.
And the gender bias decoder will give you this. It will highlight you. Of course, it doesn't necessarily mean it will like highlight all the words I use today, right? With you, for example. But it's a scientifically proven tool, and again, free for everyone. So just take a look there.
Yeah, a very very interesting impulse. And what advice would you give to other HR leaders who are aiming to create more inclusive work environments? Of course, we heard about the gender bias decoder, but is there another two tools you can they will find very creative perhaps to create a right diversity?
I mean, diversity strategy, a comprehensive diversity strategy will always include a certain type of the training, right? And this training could be aiming at raising the awareness. It could be aiming at understanding the unconscious bias that we're having, right? It could also prompt people to change things or change the words, change the ways how they behave, how they write job descriptions or any other messages, for example, in the company channels. And I think that if you want to start with the small steps, look at your hiring practice. Is there something you can do differently? And I can give you a very simple example. If you interview your candidates online, is there a chance that turning off their camera or asking the candidate to turn off their camera during the first screening will take away some of the biases? And you can always ask this question. And you can always ask this question from your employees or from your HR team, right? Because it usually helps to take away the beauty bias or anything else related to people's appearance bias, right? Because is there really a necessity for a talent acquisition manager to see the candidate? If there is if the aim for the very first screening is just to understand whether there is a mutual interest, like is the position right, is the candidate still available? And these are small things and small practices which you can always enrich and review, but at the same time, like when you start, you can always then open the dialogue with your employees and ask them, is there something you have seen done elsewhere in different companies you worked for, which was improving significantly things? Because sometimes you don't need to invent, right? Or just Google and then read all these huge studies on how diversity positively impacts the companies that are so far away from what you're doing. But listening to what your people inside of the company have considered success, evaluating that, whether it makes sense, whether it will work for us, because cultures are different. I think that's something to start with, just to understanding the state where you are, right? And the first small steps, like these baby steps towards the success in diversity, that would be my first advice for the HR leaders.
Great, great impulses and tips.
Schluss mit Psst. Business Secrets weitersagen.
To find the right way, first of all, you have to check your mindset and your awareness and the awareness in your team, and then go with the little advices of Valentina, and I can guarantee you that you will be on the right way. Thank you very, very much, Valentina. And I think we can add you in LinkedIn and on the social media. And so thank you very much for joining us. And till next time, I can say.
Till next time, Barbara. It was a great pleasure to talk to you today, and I'm leaving this conversation absolutely excited and energized. So thank you very much, everyone.
Business Secrets. Warum Frauen geliked und Männern gefolgt wird. Mehr Geheimnisse gibt's in den Büchern von Barbara Liebermeister. Effizientes Networking und digital ist egal. Oder online. barbara-liebermeister.com. Business Secrets. Psst, weiter sagen.